All right, this morning our scripture comes from the 16th chapter of Acts. And again, we are following along with these conversion stories. And what's remarkable about this story is it happens after Paul and Silas have been imprisoned. They've been out converting others. So Lydia and her household were converted. They actually healed a woman, a slave girl that had a spirit. They are causing all sorts of ruckus in town, and the Romans do not like it. They do not like that the world is kind of being turned upside down by the message and the healing that Paul and Silas are bringing forth. And so they take Paul and Silas and put them in jail. So listen here for the word of God. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so I have to share one of my growing edges, which is a very polite way of saying that the witness of Paul and Silas here in this scripture makes me very uncomfortable. I confess to you that when I am accused and beaten and imprisoned, well, maybe not beaten literally or imprisoned literally, but figuratively, I rarely begin to sing hymns of praise. You see, I believe that Jesus came to earth and accomplished the resurrection for our sakes so that we could live freely, so that our lives could be full and whole lives rather than lives caught up in sin and in darkness, both our own personal sin and darkness and the sin of human institutions, of society, those sins that are collective that we deal with on a daily basis. So that rather than live under the burden of sin, our own and others, because of Jesus, we can live and respond in a way that reflects God's goodness and God's power and God's loving kindness. I believe that to be Christian means that no matter how good of a human being you are, you still realize that God's power is the only power that can overcome the world's death-dealing ways. I want to be clear right now, like Paul and Silas out there putting their lives on the line, being Christian always involves risks. Yes, as Christians, our life is on the line. To be one who follows Jesus means that somewhere, sometime, we will be asked to make a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that we are called to make will be for the sake of someone else, not for ourselves, for the sake of another person. To be Christian means that somewhere, sometime, God is going to use you so that someone else is relieved of a burden. Someone else is given a new chance on life. That's following Jesus. Giving someone a second chance. Living less out of your power and more out of God's power, so that others can see the witness of your love. So listen up carefully for a minute. Listen up. If you are in a place of suffering right now by something outside of your choice, if you are dealing with an illness or a loss of a loved one or a lousy job or a difficult marriage or a divorce, I just can't believe for a minute that God expects you to stand up and rejoice. However, if on the other hand, God has called you to a certain time and place, called you to a certain place, God has called you to serve, and you follow Jesus, and you stand up for others, for those who are hurt, for those who no one listens to, stand up for those who need a second chance, and if by standing you suffer, maybe even put in prison like Silas and Paul, then yes, by all means, sing and dance and praise God for your opportunity to serve for the sake of another. Sing and dance and praise God because it will catch the attention of those without faith. And then they might get exactly what they need too. They might possibly be converted, transformed by God's love and grace. You can sing and you can dance in the midst of difficulty because and only because you know one thing. You know Jesus. You don't know the answers to the burdens of those that you are standing with. You don't know how to make their situations right. You only know what it means to live freely in Jesus Christ. To set down the things that imprisoned you and live freely and forgiven forever. Forever. You got that, Marina? Forever. It's good news. John Chrysostom was a bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century, okay? He was known as Golden Tongue. The word, his last name, Chrysostom, actually means Golden Tongue. And he was known as Golden Tongue for his eloquent preaching and teaching. And he described that through this passage in Acts, that we learn that God is a God of reversals. And here's what he said. The prison shook to disrupt the mindset of the faithless. The prison guard who was there, right? The prison shook to disrupt the mindset of the faithless in order to set this prison guard free. You see, the nature of shackles destroys the shackles. For just as the death of the Lord put death to death, so also the shackles of Paul set the captives free, shook the prison and opened the doors. And yet this is not the nature of shackles. they do the opposite. They hold the prisoner in security. They do not open walls for him. But while the simple nature of shackles is not this, the nature of these shackles, the shackles on Paul and Silas, are such because of Christ. That's the end of Christosom's words. You see, Paul and Silas were singing hymns, rejoicing that even in prison they could live freely, rejoicing in their opportunity to share the gospel. And so the prison guard was disarmed. He was transformed by their witness. I think of the natural disasters that have swept through Haiti and how the folks that have gone down there to serve on the relief teams come back with stories of amazement of the Haitians, enduring the difficulties that they are dealing with and still singing and praising God. God of reversals. When those who go to relieve another's suffering are set free themselves. Those who go to relieve another's suffering are set free themselves. I wonder about the children and adults who are starving from this famine in Somalia. The New York Times has been writing about it all this last week. 3 million people are in urgent need. 10 million people are at risk. Thousands of people, children, are dying of starvation. An outbreak of cholera was reported yesterday. And I wonder if anyone is living freely, able to rejoice in the midst of that imprisonment. In today's world, even good things can imprison us. Many of us are imprisoned by financial matters. Yes, we have jobs. We make good money. But we're still not exactly rejoicing in this economic downturn that might just provide us with an opportunity to bear witness to our trust in God to provide for our needs. Remember the Lydia sermon that Darlene delivered for me a couple of weeks ago? Just a reminder that the gospel is at work in the business world. Keep that purple cloth in with your credit cards and remember each and every purchase you make reveals something about your faith in God. Other good things can imprison us too. Too much caring about others can be a prison. Too much caring about others can be a prison. We call that righteousness. And instead of living out of the grace that God gives us, we think it's up to us to supply the whole world compassion for every need that's out there. And then it becomes self-righteous behavior. Trusting God means just that. Serving in the place where you are called to stand and allowing God to call others to care for the rest. When we go trying to do too much, even within the body of Christ, we are withdrawing the opportunity for someone new to come in and serve in a spot that is needed. But really, can you imagine such confidence in Christ that the next time you find yourself delivered into freedom, that you stick behind so you can relieve the suffering of those who were your enemies? Why was it that Paul and Silas even bothered with their jailer? In his autobiography, The Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela tells of a place that he came to during his 27 years in prison. And he said this, "It was during those long and lonely hours that my hunger for the freedom of my own people became a hunger for the freedom of all people, white or black. I knew as well as I knew anything that the oppressor must be liberated just as surely as the oppressed. A man who takes away another man's freedom is a prisoner of hatred. He is locked behind the doors of prejudice and narrow-mindedness. And I am not truly free if I am taking away someone else's freedom, just as surely as I am not free when my freedom is taken from me. The oppressed and the oppressor alike are robbed of their humanity." Living free is about being part of another's salvation. Our conversion story, our transformation to become a believer in Christ, may be a very personal story, but it is never intended to serve only ourselves. Our conversion is essential because it affects many others. It's a public matter. Remember Lydia's conversion? Her whole household was baptized. Today, the prison guard, it says his whole household was converted. Walking faithfully means that every step we take is a consideration of love and compassion towards others, towards those who might be watching the steps that we are taking. Sometimes what we think is the faithful thing to do actually has the potential to hurt another. It's a very fine line we have to discern between what is the faithful thing, what is the right thing. Sometimes we're choosing between two good things. But let me share this little story as I close. There was a monk who was headed to a monastery for a much-needed break in his ministry, and he arrived late at night. And he was greeted at the door, and breaking the vow of silence, his host asked him if he needed something to eat. And going to the kitchen together, they had a light meal together and enjoyed light conversation, at the end of which the visitor asked, "Why did you break your vow of silence?" And the wise man said, "It was more important to welcome you, to give you all that was needed to settle in during your stay with us." See, living free is about being part of another's salvation, this day and forever. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Amen.